Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, who passed on to us the high calling of showing mercy to all people. And I pray that by our worship together this day, we might know such grace and we might demonstrate it to others. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who might be worshiping with us through our either a live stream worship or a recorded worship. We know that distance and time may be separating us, but we also know that we are joined together as one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements we'd like to share with you this morning. We always thank our worship leaders because they are giving of their time and talents this day to help us to be in worship together. And so I offer thanks to Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, Beth Canterbury and Tom Foster, and also to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus for helping us on the technical side make this worship possible. We have a time during our worship for lighting a candle together. I'll be lighting the Christ candle, and I invite you to have a candle as well in your worship space that you might light, and that so that we might remember that we are joined together by the Holy Spirit. We will be offering up prayer celebrations and concerns during our worship this day, and we've received a number of those. You'll find them in the bulletin that we would have gone out in the emailing from the church later this past week on Friday, or possibly this morning. And you can also see that on our church's website. But we also invite you to share prayer celebrations or concerns with us this day that we might lift up during our worship. And if you'd like to do that, you may email those to admin@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of today's reflection, we'll be able to incorporate those into our public prayer this day. We always have a time of post-worship fellowship via Zoom video conferencing, and we hope that you will join us. So again, you can find a link to that special time together immediately following our worship through our church's emailing link newsletter. Again, it would have come out on Friday, or you would have seen it on today, but you can also find it on our church's website. We hope you'll join us, and that website is www.firstchurchnatick.org. I know that Sarah Lynn has a few announcements that she wants to share this day.
Thank you. Yes, good morning, everyone. So we want to encourage everyone to make a voting plan for November. First, make sure that you're registered And then send in an application for early voting or vote by mail if you can. Just ensuring that your vote matters and counts. We want to make sure that our votes all count. And we also want to call your attention to the UCC Creation Care Challenge. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that in the coming days, the Environmental Voter Pledge that we are going to ask you to consider taking. We really would like to get a high percentage of our congregation to do this pledge. And really, it's not about voting for a particular candidate, but to vote, to pledge to vote your values, your environmental values, and that's so important. So look in the link that will be coming out this week that will have some more information about that, and we will be talking about it over the next few weeks. We want to invite everyone also for the midweek connection and prayer on Wednesdays at noon. We get together for about a half an hour of just being sharing prayer requests and then to be in prayer with one another. It's really a lovely time, and we would welcome more of you to join us on Wednesday. And Lunch Bunch gathered on the Common. You can see on this picture that we were together last Friday afternoon. It was a bit chilly. You can see that we're bundled up in our jackets and things, but safely distanced from one another, wearing our masks. But what a lovely time we had. And so we're looking for volunteers to organize more of these small group gatherings. And so if you are interested in hosting a small group of people from the church, please contact me for more details on how we can get that started and get it going this fall while the weather is still fine. And I want to remind everyone that Jonathan is available for any pastoral care needs that you might have. You can phone him on his mobile or email him at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org, and he would be happy to hear from any of you. And then for those of you who would like to learn more about First Church, let Jonathan know about your interest. We're going to be gathering a small group of newcomers and to learn more about our church and to talk about perhaps joining the church and becoming new members. And we'll be doing that on a Sunday in November. Thank you.
We come to a time of now of lighting the Christ candle and of all of us lighting a candle. If we have it, we really encourage you to do this. This is one of the ways that we remember that we are joined together by the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, no matter how distance might be dividing us during this time. Let us do that now. In these days of increasing darkness, and many of us are feeling that these days, this light of Christ in the world, is the light that will help us all know that there is hope and that there will be peace and that we can be one in seeking that peace and justice together. Let us continue our time of worship with our responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Like a tree planted by the river,
we sink our roots in God's love.
Like the leaves bouncing with ease,
we dance in the breath of the Spirit.
Like the small nest in the crook of a branch,
we find rest in the arms of God.
Like a bird pouring out sweet melodies,
we raise our voices in praise.
Like the bright apple,
we live as witnesses of God's grace.
With morning hymns we will adore the blessed three in one, and we shall praise you evermore until the day is done. Your love is ever in our Your gifts are every morning new, O God of love and light. Your mercy, like the heavens blue, fills all our dazzled sight. We do not know what grief and care each coming day may bring. The heart shall find some gladness there, trust you in everything. The life that serves you everywhere will never cease to sing.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy Spirit, have your way among us. Draw us from separation into oneness, that our worship may be an acceptable offering. Where there is pride, humble us. Where there is anger or sadness, reveal the hurt beneath and heal us. Move in us and move us toward one another in love. Let openness and forgiveness free us to be a true witness to the living Christ. Amen.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of peace, placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and the intention of meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or of offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me worships and recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. Hi, Jonathan. It's the time for children again, and I have something I want to show you.
Hey, Sarah Lynn, what do you have to show me today?
Well, it's these bags. My office is full of them, and I just want to show you what's inside.
Great. Can't wait to see it.
We're going to be giving all of the church families with children who participate in our Godly Play program these bags. And inside, there's a bin full of things that they can use to respond to the stories that they hear on the videos. And there's a bag with some props so that they can help tell the story in their house. And another bag that has some pieces that, oh, well, I don't want to tell you everything that's inside. I want it something to be a surprise. So we're going to be delivering these bags to folks this week, and they can look forward to seeing what's in them.
Oh, that's great, Sarah Lynn. And I bet the children and some of the adults are probably really going to enjoy those. And you know what? They make me think about something.
What do they make you think about?
Well, I am thinking about all the stuff that you put in that bag and in that box in the bag, but I'm also thinking about the bag and the box.
Well, what about them?
Well, you see, I have always loved putting things away in just the right place, like packing if I'm going on a camping trip or if we're going on vacation or something like that, or using just the right container for all the different kinds of things that I have. I don't know about you, but I am one of those people who really likes organizing things, and especially by using the perfect container for just the right thing. You ever feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing like finding just the right size container for what you need. I love that.
Yes, but then there are some things that you just can't put in a container, like a bag or a box, right?
Oh, yes. There are lots of things like that, like a tree or a house or the moon or the universe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, God. You can't put God in a box, can you?
No, God is so much more than anything or anyone that we can imagine, and especially more than we can imagine fitting into a box. There is something that God has more of than we can imagine too.
Well, what's that?
Love. God has so much love, not just a little love. In fact, the Bible says God is love.
God is love. That is a lot of love. And it reminds me of a story that we, all of us find in the Bible. And in fact, it's one most of us have heard. It's a story of Jonah. And maybe you remember Jonah being swallowed by a whale. Well, God wanted Jonah to go to the people called the Ninevites and to tell them that they were doing bad things and that they should stop it. But Jonah really didn't want to do that. Jonah hated the Ninevites. He hated them because they had done some bad things to his own people. And so he didn't want to do this, and he ran away. He ran, and that's how he ended up on a ship, and then in the water, and then in the belly of a whale. And while he was inside the belly of the whale, eventually he prayed to God and he escaped. Well, when Jonah came back out of that whale, you know what God did? God asked him the same thing again. Jonah, go to the Ninevites and tell them that they're doing wrong. And he wasn't happy about it, but he did it. And when they heard Jonah say that they should stop doing those things, guess what? They did. And God decided not to punish them after all for all the bad things that they had done. But this made Jonah even madder because he didn't see how God could possibly forgive them for all those things. And still God did forgive them. You see, God's love is so big that it was big enough to love the Ninevites. And in fact, it was that same big love that that God could love Jonah with, even though Jonah had done wrong.
Yes, I really love that story about Jonah and the whale, but also that it reminds us that God's love isn't just a little, and it isn't even just for you and me, but that God's love is there even when we do bad things.
Yes, yes, and that is a lot of love.
It is. It's hard to imagine just how much love that is. But it's good to know that God's love is for everyone.
It is. It is. And that is something we can really be thankful about. And you know, when we're really thankful for things like this, that's a good time to pray. So let's pray together. Loving and merciful God, we give you thanks for your big love that loves us and everyone, no matter what we do. And we give you thanks that Jesus taught us that we can also love other people with big love, even when they do bad and wrong things. We know that's hard to do, loving God, but we ask you to help us to do that in the way that Jesus did. Amen. Though we are not passing an offering plate at this time, we know that we are the called people of God, called to use the resources we have, those resources that we've been entrusted with by a loving God, to steward well on behalf of God's emerging realm of love. And so we invite you to be together in a time of sharing those gifts. If you want to make a money gift, we hope that you will, to continue this church's mission and ministry in the world and specifically in the community of Natick and its surrounding area. And so if you want to do that, you can mail a check directly to the church office. We'll make sure that gets to the right place. But if you'd like to make an online donation, you can do that as well by visiting our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. We hope that you will continue giving of yourself and of your substance, because we continue to be the church in the world at a time when the world needs us like never before. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." May our offerings and of commitment and support for our church and the church and Jesus' ministry in the world ongoing come from a merciful heart. Let us pray. God of all, receive our gifts, given not for some, but for any in need, and in particular in need of your love and your mercy and your grace. May they serve the purposes of the one Spirit of life, active wherever and whenever your people suffer deprivation or pain or oppression in body, soul, or spirit, or where your creation cries out for healing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to a time now of breaking open the word and of being the church together as we hear that word. And this day we have the story of Jonah, a portion of it, but I want to help us remember the context for the portion we're going to hear. This is a brief book of the Bible, only four chapters long. It's a quick read, and we tend to focus on the first and second chapters, which are specifically about God asking Jonah, commanding Jonah, really, to go to the Ninevites, those people who had been oppressors of the Israelites, and to tell them it was time to repent. And Jonah, of course, balks at this. He's not happy with it, and he runs. Just as I said earlier, he runs, and that finds him on a ship, and that ship finds itself in the midst of all kinds of turmoil and the crew wondering what's brought about this awful thing, and Jonah has to confess, well, it's me. It's me, and I guess you better throw me overboard, and that's what they do. And that's when the whale comes along, or that great fish, and takes Jonah inside. And there inside the belly of the whale, Jonah prays for his deliverance. And indeed, the great fish spews him out. And then we hear these words from the third and fourth chapters of the book of Jonah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it a message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently for God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so they will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, God relented and did not bring on them the destruction God had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Here ends this morning's reading. May God bless this to our hearing and to our understanding, and to our doing as well. And so I ask you to please pray with me. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, you've probably noticed that I begin each sermon with a prayer that what I have to say and how you will respond will be acceptable in God's sight. And never do I feel this more when my preaching, you know, gets a little more creative, and I decide to give you something that is a little bit off the beaten trail, and in fact is something a lot more like Jewish Midrash. Midrash. Midrash is a method of biblical interpretation that takes seriously scripture as a place for the Spirit to show up and revelation to happen. The idea of breaking open the word really fully so that that word might live, particularly when we reimagine biblical narratives, sometimes even creating new ones and expanding them. The idea here isn't to replace what's in the Bible. That's not the intention, but it is to help us ask questions of scripture, engaging what is in the text, what is behind the text, engaging what is beyond the text, what is said and what is unsaid. And so I want to do that today. And I'm giving you a little time to prepare for that because this is going to be a little different for you. I want you to think of this as an exercise in scriptural exploration. So for part of this morning's sermon, I ask you to enter into Midrash with me. And specifically, I want you to suspend your disbelief and imagine that I am Jonah. That I am Jonah, returned today from the past to speak to you as a representative from what he calls the crusade for divine full self-disclosure. The crusade for divine full self-disclosure. So I'm going to put on a little Jonah attitude, all right? And then I'll begin. Good morning, if that's what you want to call it. I'm Jonah. And sure, I know what you're thinking. Jonah, I know that guy, the whale guy. Well, you don't know me. You don't know me. After all, just read the book. It was actually a big fish, a tuna, if you will, and more cramped inside than you might expect. But you'll probably just keep remembering me as Jonah, the whale guy. But that's not what I'm here to complain, I mean to tell you about. No, I'm here to set you straight, because if you insist on following this God that you worship, I have a few pointers for you based on personal experience. First, you can run, but you can't hide. Better just get it over with and say, like some other prophets, "Here I am, Lord, speak, your servant is listening." Secondly, if you feel you simply must try fleeing from this God, take a train, take a car, take a bicycle, take anything, but don't take a boat. Thirdly, if you're fed up with your divinely assigned tasks, don't expect this God to let you off the hook. There is no escape clause. And finally, and more to the point, at the risk of blaspheming, this God would probably just forgive you for it anyway. There is more to this God than meets the spiritual eye. Think twice before you get too trusting. Okay, true confessions. I ran. Yes, I did. I ran, but I had my reasons. Look, I had a good thing going, reminding my people of our covenant promises. And then God threw a curveball. Go to Nineveh and cry out against it because of its wickedness. And I thought, great, great. I can't wait to let them have it. After all, you know Nineveh, the accursed Assyrian capital, home of our oppressors. And then it dawned on me, Nineveh, why should I cavort with those heathens, our oppressors? I wasn't sure what God was up to, but I didn't like it. And so I ran. Now I see that my suspicions were well-founded. God knew what was going to happen. Why was I sent? If not to give them the chance to repent And why did my message provoke such a big response? After all, it's a huge city and I only went out to the outskirts. And then I preached one of the shortest sermons in history. 40 more days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Just 8 English words and only 5 in Hebrew. No illustrations, no pithy slogans, no poems, no jokes, no nothing. I said nothing about repenting. Didn't even hint that they might receive mercy. But what was their response? They began fasting and putting on sackcloth. The king declared it, not just for the people, but for the animals too. It all sounds a little fishy to me. Well, I knew it all along, and as I admitted after those people were spared, that is why I fled. I knew this God abounded in steadfast love, gracious and merciful, ready to relent from punishing. Oh, what I would give for the old days. The old days, God used to judge, and that was that. Case closed, but no. These days, the door is left ajar. Not only the Ninevites, but I suppose everyone who gets the opportunity to turn to God again and to be welcomed warmly. Well, I was furious when Nineveh was spared, and why not? God humiliated me. I'm told to pronounce final judgment on Nineveh, and what does God do? God has a change of mind. Makes me look like a fool before those heathens. And you wonder why I'm angry. So back to my original point. What kind of deity is merciful to people outside of our covenant and changes the divine mind? So here's my modest proposal. A sign above every church door, like the Surgeon General's warning. Warning, the God worshiped here is unpredictably gracious, extravagantly welcoming with unbounded love, and may have a change of heart. Huh. See how many of us truly elect, saved, righteous ones are going to darken the doorways of such places once that has been put up. Now, it's time for me to move on. I'll be next appearing in Wellesley to continue my crusade for divine full disclosure. So thank you, and may God be with you as if you could get away. Okay, Midrash over. Midrash over, and I stop pretending to be Jonah. And I go back to being Jonathan. Jonathan, who is trying to understand this story, and that is in fact what Midrash is about. And it does seem to me like letting Jonah have his say is really only right. It's really only fair. Since the Bible doesn't tell us his side of this remarkable story. Remarkable, in fact, maybe most remarkable for the fact that it is in the biblical canon in the first place. Why would this exaggerated joke of a story be told to Israel or to us? Well, I think it is because it is about us. Jonah's story reminds us we often confuse what we hate with what God hates. In it, God even welcomes our enemies. It reminds us that so-called wickedness springs not from the fact that you are not like me or they are not like us. Wickedness occurs when people aren't God. And just how many of us are sufficiently like God to begin pointing fingers. The story's point is really simple. Everyone is invited to be part of God's realm, even those nasty Ninevites, or the obnoxious neighbor who yells at our kids, or a backstabbing coworker. And those who we are told sometimes from birth to hate because of what they look like, because of who they are, because of who they love, because of how they might think of themselves and who they want to be in the world. More to the point, even us, everyone is invited to turn toward God, the God who can free a guy from the belly of the fish, transform the attitudes of an entire city, and melt hateful hearts. The God who can change us too. That was a hard word for Jonah, and I suspect it is a hard word for many of us, even those of us who are trying to go about living in the world with love in our hearts. Because, and you may have noticed this too, it is not getting any easier these days for us to claim as siblings of the same God others who aren't like us, who don't share our values and beliefs, who don't share our political commitments, who don't share our religious views, or who behave in ways that shock or abhor us. We have got much to disagree over and much to feel affronted by or injured by. And some of it is well-founded. And I find myself every day brought up short by the realization that I am carrying a lot more anger than I should about the people who are, in my view, making things worse for all of us and for the planet. And yet Jonah's story ends with a question. Should I not be concerned about Nineveh? It parallels the loving father's words to the prodigal son's older brother, who is angry when a party is thrown when the prodigal returns home. When that father says, "We had to celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life, was lost and is found." Well, in both stories, there really isn't a tidy ending, right? Whether Jonah continues sulking or goes off on the crusade for divine full disclosure, or if Jonah begins to see things God's way, we don't really know, just as we don't know whether the prodigal's brother ever comes inside to join the welcome home party. And there is no tidy ending for us either. But I leave you with this. Only if God manages to care even for those Ninevites can we cling to God's expansive mercy and to know that we are invited as well. And only if we embody that extravagant welcome to others by hospitality and inclusion, by service and justice seeking, and next week's worship theme, spoiler alert, and probably even the harder challenge for us, forgiveness, can we demonstrate that we really believe it? Beloved, may God grant us wisdom, the wisdom not to stuff our anger towards others, because there are, in fact, times when it is well-founded and when it is faithful to feel anger, but the wisdom to so manage how we hold anger and respond when we are feeling it, that we don't stray from the holy path that Jesus has set before us. A way of grace, a way of mercy, a way of forgiveness, and in particular, in just the moments when we are feeling least inclined to give those gifts to others who offend us. May our loving God be with us in such a challenge. Amen. We carry that challenge and many more into our prayer before our loving God. And we know of many people who are meeting life's challenges and want to know the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And so we've listed many of their names in the church's bulletin, which you'll find on the church's website and also sent out in the emailing that was sent. And if you're not getting that, by the way, let us know. Make sure we have your correct email, and we'll make sure that you get that. So we lift up those concerns and celebrations, and I now turn to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about others that have come before and during our worship this day. Wayne?
Good morning. Prayers go out to Connie Sullivan, who continues to improve and looks forward to a period of rehab to strengthen muscles and improve mobility. Prayers go out to Lane McDonough's father, who has moved to a rehab facility in Western Pennsylvania. Prayers of healing go out to loved ones in the Keller family. Catherine's husband, Ethan, has two family members who have suffered damaging falls. Ethan's stepmom, Jamie, fell while on vacation out west, breaking both of her wrists. And Ethan's grandfather fell last Wednesday night and broke several ribs and now has fluid in his lungs. He is hospitalized in New Hampshire. We thank God for a blessed and meaningful and successful Central Association meeting last Wednesday. Prayers for strength and peace go out to all students and educated as the new school year unfolds. Prayers of celebration for Doug and Sarah's grandniece, Lily Dare, who celebrated her first birthday this past week. Many of you remember that Lily was born more than 3 months early at just 2 pounds, and your prayers during her first few months helped her and her family enormously. Lastly, thoughts and prayers go out to the friends and family of the McDonoughs and those of Lane's niece, Kelsey, whose husband, Gregor, passed away this week. There is comfort for Kelsey in knowing that Gregor, who was an organ donor, will be part of extending others' lives. Please hold the whole circle of loved ones affected by the sudden and painful loss in your hearts and prayers.
Thank you, Wayne. I also want to lift up the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was a pioneer and a pillar of moral courage and strength, a champion of women and of justice for all. And that fact, and the fact that many of us sense that we can't grieve this tremendous loss without also fearing for our collective future, makes this moment all the more poignant and fraught. So our collective hearts are especially tender, knowing that she died at Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the Jewish New Year. And so we think about our Jewish siblings in particular. In a comment about her dissenting opinions, Justice Ginsburg once shared that she was, quote, both disappointed and hopeful because some of my favorite opinions are dissenting opinions. I will not live to see what will become of them, but I remain hopeful. So may we follow this fierce advocate for equality in the cause for equal justice, in her unflagging spirit of dissent, and in her unwavering hopefulness. May we grieve, yet hold fast to God, our hope for a better future for all those Justice Ginsburg fought to protect. And in the midst of this national loss, may we remember Ruth Bader Ginsburg's towering legacy, that it may continue to be a source of courage, grace, and hope in these profoundly troubling times. And so, beloved, I invite you to be in prayer with me as we gather in all of those concerns and celebrations and lift up before our loving God those things that are most on our hearts. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Holy One, that your great heart can be so full of love for all that it may hold us and our world and the universe and all that we know and love. We thank you, especially for the depths of your love that include mercy, that when we are so undeserving of your grace, you yet extend it to us. And so help us this day to be agents of mercy upon the earth and for the earth. When we are feeling hard-hearted towards those we despise, fill us with compassion and give us patience and help us to listen beyond the words for the hurting soul that is speaking them. When we look upon others with disdain for what we believe to be their undeserving nature and behavior, Holy One, help us to see them as the child of God that they are. And in the course of our justice-seeking and passionate desire for bringing righteous change, give us courage in the fight and yet in the ways of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. May we remember that there is no true justice without mercy. Be with all those who are suffering with illness or pain or uncertainty about medical conditions, about anxiety, depression, and all forms of mental illness, or those who are heartsick as we look about us and wonder when is deep peace and love and mercy going to be established in our land and in all lands. We bring these prayers before our loving God, asking for much, but we ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Beloved, let us greet the world as children of God, rejoicing in its wonders, sharing its goodness with our siblings in God's family. And may the vision and reality of God's mercy and God's peace and God's justice make this world a happy home, a place of peace for the entire human family. May our loving God make it so. Go in the peace of Christ. Amen.